Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Clean Sheets Dirty Laundry podcast. I'm Gary from NWP Gloves.
I'm Craig Ellison from Reflex GK.
Reflex
GK.
So sit back, relax, and listen to the rest of this.
I don't want to get too technical with things, but I want to try and
do it. Go on, you be technical and I'll talk like a dickhead. How are we getting on, mate? You okay? You had a good week?
I had a very good week, actually. Really, really good week, to be fair, in terms of coaching. Some really good sessions this week. And yeah, just a generally decent week of football.
Good on.
Yourself?
Bit of frustrating week, to tell you the truth. Went out to make some content for the gloves, giving gloves away. Got it all, everything brilliant. Came back, no audio. Oh. I don't know if it's something to do with the wind or anything, but just no audio at all. Well, on one of them. Oh no, sorry, on two of them. On one of them was fine. But the lad didn't want the gloves. It's useless.
No way. Just voice over it. Just make it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking I'm going to do. I'm going to work it somehow.
You can be both characters.
Yeah, somehow. Hello. Geordie.
Yeah, all right, mate.
Geordie and the Jamaican. And the voices I can do. Not very well. Jump straight into it. Love him or hate him, you can't deny Martinez is the king of mind games, isn't he?
Yeah, he actually is. He does it better than anyone at the moment.
He gives Barthez a run for his money, doesn't he? So if you don't know what happened last night, it was, as recording, Barthez gets a yellow card in the 30th minute of a European game, and then gets a yellow card in the penalty shootout, but doesn't get sent off. Did you know this rule?
No.
Rule 10.3 of IFBA or something like that is that the cards aren't carried over into the shootouts.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, isn't it? I've seen a couple of things on social media recently where the keeper has got a second yellow card and he's got sent off, but only on like grassroots. So, you know, like the ref probably don't know the proper rules. It's mad, isn't it? Eh?
I wonder if he actually, but he didn't know that, no?
I don't think he knew it, no.
He just got lucky.
Yeah.
He never knew that, did he?
No, did he?
No one knows that.
No.
It's a unwritten rule.
It is, yeah. I've always thought, right, let's just go talk about penalties and the mind trickery you can do and all that, right? Yeah. First of all, what do you do? Do you guess or do you sit and wait?
I pick my side and I cover that entire side of the goal as best I can. I'm never going to wait because the chance of me making a save if you hit a half decent penny if I wait is minimised, and I'd rather just gamble and cover as much as I can.
Yes, the higher up you get, the less you can guess, can't you? Because you're just going to smash it in, aren't they?
Yeah, and I'm more accurate as well.
So do you look for anything?
Do you know what's absolutely mad, and this is just something I don't know why. If I watch...
Just cutting you off. Any strikers out there or any outfield players listen to this, turn it off now, please.
Yeah. When I watch games, I promise you 99.9% of the time I'll tell you which way they're going. So from behind, I can always tell.
Yeah.
I'm never behind this.
It's a lot like guess the keeper, isn't it? Because you can do it when you're not in goal. I can do it every time when you're not in goal. But then as soon as it's put on that spot, you go, oh, fuck, left, right, no, straight down the middle.
No, but my penalty record is actually crazy. Like, it's very, very, very good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really good. I don't look for anything. I just pick a side and make sure I cover it. I know at some point, I'm not saying which way I go, but if I go a certain way multiple times, you're going to go there at least once.
Yeah. You mean on a shootout? Don't you?
Yeah, on a shootout. In a game, it's just a case of I just pick early. I won't look at the attacker. I just say, right, I'm going X way. Unless they give me a real telltale sign where I think there's no way you can reverse that shot.
Yeah.
I'm going where I've said.
Or they'll give the eyes too much to one side, don't they? Yeah. And I just stare at one side when they're putting the ball down. And you think, yeah, right, mate. I always look at the run-up as well. Obviously, like, either up they get, they can camouflage you, can't they? But like, if they're straight on, they're going to just smash it straight down the middle, don't you?
Yeah. Potentially. I mean, there's loads of like scientific things you can look for. Like, they say that the attackers raise the opposing arm to the side they're going. So right. if they're having a shot, and as they hit the ball, the right arm goes up, they're going to go left and vice versa, which is actually, it looks like it's most true.
How would they do it if they're going to the other side then?
So if they're going left.
They're supposed to keep the arm to the body then, do they?
Well, no, but A, goalkeepers.
You don't take
it.
A shot like that. Do you?
No, but if you go, you'll see what I mean if you watch it. So they raise the opposing arm to decide the kicking, apparently. And but obviously, right. It's a late cue. It's a real late cue. Like.
Right, yeah. And what's I think it's a myth that was told when I was younger about penalties was if you look where the foot that the plant is pointing where they're going to kick the ball.
Yeah,
but you can't think that fast.
Yeah, it's a late cue again.
Yeah, you go. Oh right. Oh, back in. It's in the back of the net, isn't it? Yeah. You know what I mean?
By the time you see it, it's been hit. No.
Do you do anything with positioning or arms or?
No, I never have done. You know, the only thing I do sometimes if I'm if in a situation says a penalty shooter and I've saved one, what I might do, I've done it a few times. It's worked. I crouch, so I'll crouch to the very very last second then before they kick the ball, and it's like it just confuses them.
Yeah.
So I'll sit in the middle of the goal and literally be crouched on like a frog position.
Yeah.
So they can see the entire goal. And I just go last minute. But obviously, they're just thinking, huh, what's he doing, sort of thing.
Yeah. Just do anything out of the ordinary.
Yeah,
to...
just, and that's the only thing I do mind game-wise, really, apart from that, just pick a side and go.
Like I say, the old wobbly knees from Grumble Eye. If you miss it, if they still score, you look like a right twat.
Literally.
Do you know what I mean? There's a thread of thought that spreading your arms, making yourself look as big as you can, come get in the red. Do you know what I mean? So start thinking about where they're going to put the ball.
But I think, like, listen, like you say, the higher you go, they've already picked the side. They're not going to change it for the sake of your arms being out. And it's just put their point in where they've practiced putting it, or they've thought beforehand, right, I'm going left, they're going to go there.
Yeah.
It's very rare, very, very rare a higher level player will change their mind in the penalty shootout because of what the keeper does.
You got any stories of penalties and mind trickery and...
I've got multiple stories of penalties.
Did I never remember anything other than standing on your goal line, any goalkeeper ever doing anything until Barthez started cleaning his boots on the post. Can you? I can't remember anything.
I think there's always been something. There's always been, like, even if it's just like that, things like handing the ball to the attack and dropping it last second.
Yeah.
There's always little things. I've seen loads of stuff. Standing with one side of the goal, moving left and right, waving your arms about. So... I think there's always been little things, but like I say, the bottom line is I just don't think it affects the attackers. I don't think any attacker goes, oh my God, he's waving his arms and now I don't know what I'm going to do. They've picked this side, they're hitting that side, if they score, they score, and you save it.
I've always thought, right, I'm going to do it next penalty, as long as I'm not on a yellow card, right? Because I'm coming out of retirement, so just letting everybody know.
Oh yes.
Right. As the ref blows the whistle, sprint as fast as you can and kick the ball as hard as you can. Do you know what I mean? Get in their head. Then they've got to wait again to get the ball, haven't they? Do you mean beat them to the ball, smash it? Even, as long as you don't hit anybody, then you get a red card.
Please do it.
It might work,
I'm recording.
That'll get in your head.
I mean, it'd be interesting.
It would get in your head, wouldn't it?
It would get in your head too far. Like, what the hell?
Go on then, sorry. Cut you off from stories.
What's my best punting story? Best one is, I don't know. I'll keep it short and sweet. So
try not to try and spread this out for an hour.
So I won a reality competition about 10 years ago now.
Pop Idol.
Basically to find the world's best unsigned goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So I flew over to...
So we have him here?
There he is.
That's what I need to put, the world's best unsigned goalkeeper. That's the name of this episode. World's best... unsigned goalkeeper.
So I basically flew to LA. It's good. It was really good, to be fair. So it's a massive program. Like, it's sponsored by Budweiser, a massive budget. It was on mainstream television in America. But basically, there was a semi-final with about 24 goalkeepers. And from that 24, they picked three. So it's myself, a guy from Hungary, and a guy from America. There's a lot of really good goalkeepers there, to be fair. But yeah, it was good. So the coach was... a Brazilian coach called Gaucho, who was, his service is, I've never seen it matched him.
Does some fantastic steaks. We've been there, it's lovely, isn't it?
It's not bad.
Favourite restaurant. Man.
It's decent. And Alex Morgan was there as a presenter as well, who's now like a world superstar in the women's game in America.
Oh, right.
So yeah, it's good. Anyway, long story short, won that, and the prize was, one of the prizes, a part of the prize was to, he's faced five penalties from five ex or current players at halftime in the America versus Mexico or something game.
Really?
So it's at the Home Depot Stadium, full, pretty good fun. So anyway, beforehand, I'd met everyone beforehand, so like just got to know them all.
Get in the red straight away.
Yeah, like, and there's a guy called Frankie.
Shake your hand, really. Fucking up, scoring this.
Guy called Frankie, proper like eccentric, loud, fun, like proper fun guy, like funny guy. Like everyone's like best mate at the place. Like, you just met him and he was like your best mate sort of thing. Like, dead eccentric. So I thought, right, 100% you're dinking it. 1,000,000%.
You're definitely
going
to be, yeah.
Fact, like, you're too extravagant. You're not going to, anyway. So there's Brian McBride, Pablo Angel, Megan Rapinoe, I can't remember the girl's name, and Frankie. So first one.
Was wearing Pluma Kings, so they went straight down the middle.
First one was Angel, I think, who's ex-Villa player, who's baller, to be fair. And he put it wide.
Did he?
Yeah.
Get in there.
Second one, Rapinoe, who's like the legend of the women's game in America. I think I saved...
She scored.
I think I saved hers. Sexist. Then it was Frankie. Now, bear in mind, I'm like, right, I've saved one, I've missed one. The prize was you win a certain amount of money for every save or every miss, by the way.
Right.
So I think it's like $1,000 per save or something.
Woo,
yeah.
Get in there.
Oh man, I'm going to be rich. Get me.
That was when $1,000 was worth something.
Yeah, literally.
Prohibition time it was. That's how
I'm like zoned in thinking, right, save two. I'm not even looking at who's taking this pen. I'm thinking, right, I'm saving it. So I'm picking my side. Obviously, it's Frankie. What did you do?
Dinked it.
And what did I do?
You dived.
I dived.
Oh.
Wanted to cry. So on national television, I've now been penenkered.
Oh,
devastated. So but then save the next one, so it's all good. So I let in two, save three, job done.
Can't save further than that, can you? Yeah.
But well done. One of many.
Makes my story sound crap. To tell you the truth. I was at Moss. Fuck's sake.
Okay.
So, Vaseline on your gloves.
Oh. Go on, what's that say?
No, to be fair, in the same game, had a penalty, they scored it. It's a proper knobhead that was taking it. And he was giving it a bit, you know what I mean? Went to give him the ball, and as I turned around, he kicked me leg. You know, it's just shit like that. And then he scored it anyway. So we was 2-0 down at the time, towards the end of the game. They'd scored a penalty to make it 2-0. I think it was like 80th minute, they get a second penalty. So it's like, they score this, they've won.
Yeah.
And they've won the league. It's come down to whoever won this game won the league. So anyway, he hit it to me. Did he hit it to me left? He hit it to me left on the first one. So I stood like a yard to where he was going to shoot. No, so the right-hand side was like...
More open.
Yeah. So I just stood there and I thought, if I dive that way and he hits it where I was stood, I'm going to look like a right bonker. But anyway, he hits it onto me right. So dive, saves it, comes back out, hits it again, bump, saves that. Fantastic. Everyone goes crazy. But we're still 2-0 down. Anyway, they get a corner from that save. We get the ball, hit the ball at the other end of the pitch. We end up getting scoring from it. Right?
Yeah.
So it's 2-1.
Yeah.
The next, we get a penalty. We score it 2-2. But if we drew, we was at like a top.
Yeah.
It goes to the next match and we was playing like bottom or something like that. So we basically, so anyway, 2 minutes later, the guy who missed the penalty punches our centre back and it just goes off. I mean, like for like 10 minutes fighting.
Proper Sunday league, bro. I love that.
But when it was 2-0 down, when we was 2-0 down, they sent two subs to go and get some champagne.
Oh, wow.
Right? So they went to go and get some champagne. The chairman of the league was there. He went and got his car, got a table out, started putting all the trophies. Honestly, it was mad. And then he started fighting. The two fellas come back with two bottles of champagne. Like, what's going on? The chairman of the league started putting them back into the box. And anyway, it match was abandoned, but it went down as 2-2.
You gotta love.
Yeah, we went on and won the next game, and won the league. It was good. It was good.
Also, basically,
best game of my life. I absolutely loved it.
Your pen save, won your league, basically.
Well, yeah, I will 100% take that. Yeah, I do.
That could be the episode name, to be fair.
No, definitely not. What was it? I can't remember what it was. Best onside keeper in the world ever.
Ever. To be fair, it's true. It's actually true.
It's getting out of hand now, this Vaseline job, isn't it?
Why do you know?
No, Onana's done it, hasn't he?
Yeah, but that was...
But then Ben Foster has gone on his podcast.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And talked about Joe Hart. He always uses it.
Yeah.
Right? Sooner or later, there's going to be a rule come out is, and say, yeah. I always thought there was that you're not allowed to put on substances.
This is the thing, like, as soon as... This is, when I saw Onana do it on telly, I was like, oh... I just knew they are going to bring it in. They're going to say they're going to ban it.
Yeah.
I know for a fact. As soon as I saw it, I thought, killed it. Like, let things out be secrets. It the first like public thing of it was on England goalkeeping.
Yeah.
And YouTube, and I seen, and even then I was like, some things just keep to goalkeeping. Like, just don't let people know, because you know for a fact the FA are busy. They love to make new rules.
So there's going
to be no foreign bodies are allowed to be applied to gloves at any point during the 90 minutes of a game.
Well, they're going to go one or two ways. They're either going to let it pass, and then it's going to go. Then it's going to go out of hand. Like, have you seen the substances that, you know, the game handball?
Yeah.
Have you seen the stuff they put on their hands?
No.
It's like tar, and it's like, so it's just going to. You're just going to go. There's that glove glue you can get that spray, can't you? Which, if you put it on the beginning, it makes it grippier, doesn't it? Where the Vaseline is like a substance that sticks to the ball, isn't it?
Vaseline's only for wet weather. So, but obviously, if you were playing in the Prem in England, then you need it every day.
Yeah.
I just hope there's a bit of common sense behind it and leave it be, because it's the one little benefit we get. And also, everything goes in when it's wet. The speed of the ball and the balls aren't gripping and purposely not gripping.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So let us have something, because slipping out. It's just. But yeah, as soon as I seen it publicised, it's like, oh,
it's brazen of it though. I wouldn't do it at Sunday League, let alone in front of 70,000 people. Like, just
no, I know, it's how he's done it as well. Like, just everything about it was wrong. Do it when the game's up the other end.
Yeah,
I get why he's done it before a corner, because obviously he wants to try and hold the corner, but it's just like, lad, you're killing the secrets of the game here.
I think it's cheating, to be fair.
No, I'm having it. No? I think.
Yeah. Do you do it?
I don't do it, no, but I will be doing it.
I will. I'm sick, finally,
I'm sick of the
football. Sick of dropping it.
sick of the football going through my hands. No, obviously.
But if you've got two keepers, one's doing it, one's not, the other one, when he comes to catch it, is going to be like, what the f*** is this?
I don't think it's not that, don't make the ball that tacky. It's more your gloves. It absorbs into your gloves and makes your gloves. So it's not like the substance has gone into the ball, really.
No.
But the bottom line is, listen, Lucozade and your gloves makes them sticky. If it's a Lucozade and your gloves, they are. But then you do feel that makes the ball go sticky as well.
Is it?
Yeah. But there's loads
you
of
put
things.
Loads of stuff, can't you? Fucking Unibond. Fucking. If you're going to start doing it, wear a pair of welding gloves with like fucking silicone on it.
Do it well. Bit of super glue applied before every game.
So then, is the latex that's used in our gloves not good enough for? Do you know what I mean? We use contact latex, basically, is the best.
Do you know what it is? I think it's a combination of, well, mainly the fact that the materials used for footballs is getting less and less grippy and more plastic.
Yeah, they've got like a plastic film on, haven't they?
Yeah, and you're using brand new balls in the Prem. Even if in training, because obviously balls wear in and become grippier.
Yeah.
But you get brand new balls in games. There is nothing worse than rain and a brand new ball for a keeper. It is the worst combo ever.
It's like soaking
it. I completely understand why keepers do it, because unfortunately, new gloves, new ball, wet weather, it's just, you've got no zero grip.
Yeah.
So I just think, unfortunately, the materials are changing with footballs all the time, and gloves are limited to what you can use, i.e. latex is pretty much the premium substance you can use to build gloves with. So
contact.
What you're supposed to do if your contact latex isn't sticking to the material they make for footballs and there's nothing else you can use to make gloves, you have to have something that can give you a little bit of grip.
Maybe it needs to be looked at what the latex is, it needs to change, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think they've always tried to evolve it, and there's people at like Old Sport and Roosh and the top level goalkeeper brands will make their own compounds and put them into latex, but whether it works or not,
them compounds that they do?
Yeah.
All they do, right, is they have a contact. Well, no, they don't have a contact latex. They have a giga latex, right, which is like the basic one. And then they put bits of wet weather latex, like sort of drip it onto it.
Yeah.
And then like contact latex. So it's got like best of both worlds, but it's like best of both worlds, but neither.
Not pretty, yeah. Not
best.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's strange. And like I say, I mean, at the minute, no one's cracked the code Like I say, you get a new ball and you can be wearing a pair of gloves you wore two or three times, which are at the perfect stage to use. It's done.
Make no difference. Edison. We should have stayed on Edison during the penalties, to be fair.
What a man. Do you know what? What a man.
He is. He's come back from injury and then puts in, listen, that goal, the goal that they scored, you can only do your best, can't you?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
At the first one, it's going to go in. I think these defenders let him down on that. But to step up in the top to first five and bang one in.
What a man.
Unbelievable, isn't he? He's the best keeper in the Premiership.
What, based on that pen?
Mental strength and just...
No, I've...
There's no...
I've championed him for a long time. Just because he literally... If I was going to be a goalkeeper...
At that level.
If I was going to be a goalkeeper at that level, he's me. Like, in terms of the way he plays his game, obviously I haven't got his standard of distribution by any means, but I play the same way. I play high. I take risks. Like, I calculate a risk. I distribute the ball as well as I can from the back of hands and feet. So to look at, I look at and I can relate to him more than anything. Is Alisson better? Potentially. I just think Alisson's probably... He's a different keeper, Alisson. Alisson gets involved in the game a lot more and he takes more risks. Alisson is solid as a rock, gets involved when he needs to, makes big saves at big times and can distribute the ball significantly well. Obviously not to the Edison's level, but he's still good to be. So I think Alisson probably, I won't say he's better. I just think he probably suits, I don't know how to explain it. Obviously, Edison, you know, is always a risk of a mistake just because of the risk he has to take to play the way he plays in terms of where he passes to, how he passes, the amount of time he's got the ball at his feet, how high he plays. So he's probably more susceptible to mistakes, even though, to be fair, he doesn't make that many.
The mistakes he does make, it's not goalkeeping mistakes, if that makes any sense. It's not he's dropped it or
where he took a risk. And again, for the amount of risks he takes, you take him as a manager, you're going to say, well, I know for at some point this will go wrong, but it happens with him rarely. So it's a real debate, which one's better. It's a real debate. I mean, it is between them two for me at the moment, in terms of the Premier League anyway.
No, without a doubt. I don't think there's anybody touching
But for me personally, I would choose Edison without him even a thought, because I just think the way
I would sooner have Edison in goal.
Than Alisson.
I would pick him, yeah. But Alisson's put his house up for sale. Allegedly, fueling speculation.
Well, I just think when Klopp goes, that's going to be a massive success. It really will, and obviously it depends on who they get in. But them, they haven't won much since that Premier League, and they were looking going. This team, all right, it's invested in a lot of new players and younger players, but that kind of, if you've been there a while and you've got a crop of four or five new players coming and you still haven't won thing, you're looking...
Can you wait another season, two seasons to get going again?
It's going
to
be a new challenge time for a lot of them big players, I think. And obviously, and the lads will know, i.e. Salah's going to be going.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Klopp going, Salah's going. So that old guard you've come up with for Alisson is going.
Yeah.
It's a new guard coming who aren't the same and haven't really done the business. In terms of, they've done well, but not win anything.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be a lot of people, a good three or four, five key players leaving that team. I do. And I really blame him, because Nunes up front is not what you need in life, I'm afraid.
Bloody hell, yeah. He takes a few chances to score, doesn't he? When he does score, he just scores good goals.
Yeah, he does. He does. He can finish. I just think he's just flipping out.
So Alisson goes. Right, play. Alisson goes. Where does he go? Where do you reckon?
Well, a big one, I think, would be Bayern Munich. Because he's not playing badly at all, and I think in that team. But the problem is they actually lost that league, and Neuer's what's Neuer, late 30s.
Yeah,
he's got to be late 30s. So he's probably got one more season left in him at that level, I'd say, potentially. And also, I just think there's going to be a big refresh in that team, because this year they haven't done the business. So
I don't know. There's somebody's getting some contracts. Terminated. Well, not terminated, but we'll end up somewhere else. I've got a sneaky suspicion that he's going to go to Real Madrid if he goes.
They're
spending a lot of money, aren't they? And they're getting some...
Yeah, next season they're going to be ridiculous.
They're going to be untouchable.
They're going to be ridiculous. But again, I think they like Courtois, and he's never let them down. In big, big games, he's made...
He's not played for 14 seasons, has he? Legs keep falling off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think...
Try and get him back to fitness... As soon as
he'll be back for the start of next season. So, did he want to invest money in? Because Alisson's going to cost a hell of a lot. You're talking 70 million for him.
Yeah.
Easy. To be fair, at the age he's at, maybe not that much. Because he's, what's he got? 3 or 4 years max in him. So maybe not 70 million.
I think it would be because, like I say, you can guarantee you could go into any league, any club, and be the, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And make a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So,
but what I mean is, are they going to invest? Even if let's be conservative and say it's a £50 million buy, do they need to do that with Courtois and the team? I spot, because they're going to end up with two number ones again. So it's going to be, I don't know. I don't think any of them keepers are going to want to go there and commit, because they're both coming to probably the peak / twilight of their careers.
Yeah. Not gonna Courtois probably got a little bit longer, isn't he?
Yeah, but not going to want to sit on the bench. And Alisson's going to go, right, I'm going to go from being number one in the Premier League at one of the top clubs to go and sit on the bench at Madrid. It's not going to be. And then Courtois isn't going to want to sit there either. So, interesting. I mean, I can see it happening. I could see the move, but I just don't see how to do it with Courtois still there.
No. He could. No, I don't know. Yeah, could be. We spoke about Neuer then. I read reports that he moved into the all-time clean sheets league in the Champions League. Yeah. Then I looked into it and he's second. Casillas is still number one with 59. I should have done that as a guess, shouldn't I? With 59.
I've never read it.
Bollocks. With 59 clean sheets, right? So there's Casillas, Neuer, right? Who's the other three?
Champions League
all-time.
Well, you know I'm going to start, don't you?
Peter Schmeichel.
Yes.
No.
Oh.
There is a Peter in it.
Check.
Peter Check, should I say. Yeah, 49 clean sheets. From 111 games, 44.1%.
David De Gea.
David De Gea is not in there. Not in the top five. Let's say.
Top five.
There's Neuer, number two. Cassius, number one.
Buffon,
number three, with 53 clean sheets.
Neuer, Cassius, Buffon. Kahn?
Nope. Not he's, who you're saying now, like six and sevens, yeah. Right? But there's one, number four.
Joe Hart.
No.
I'm trying to think who's been at teams long enough to play in that many games, you know what I mean?
So number four, a very underrated goalkeeper. Very good goalkeeper, but I think very underrated by a lot of people.
I'm trying to play the team. English team, or not? No.
Yeah, he played for English team. I think this is with two teams. One of them was Ajax.
Van der Sar,
yeah. He's number four with 51 clean sheets. He's got the best percentage. 98 games, 52%. It's mad, isn't it? Best Manchester United goalkeeper ever. You can keep laughing.
There's going to be no bias.
You can keep laughing. Okay.
There's only one answer to that question.
No, it's not. It's true. I 100% believe that he is the best goalkeeper Manchester United ever.
How? How long was he there for?
I don't know.
About 4 days.
Just my opinion.
No, he was very, very good. I mean, to be fair, I think he's Van der Sar. He was very, very good. I think what happened with him was he just exceeded everyone's expectations. He came into that team so late in his career and everyone thought it would be a one-off one season. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And he just kept performing and he was so solid and so composed.
Yeah. Right, so let's play this game, right?
Go on.
The three best, who's your three best goalkeepers for Manchester United?
There's only three. De Gea, Van der Sar,
and Schmeichel.
Yeah.
Right, so Shag Mary Kit, no. play, sub, sell.
Play, sub, sell?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, play, bench, sell.
God, that is so hard. Well, selling Van der Sar, that's done.
Van der Sar.
Easy.
Van der Sar gone. Now think with your brain and not with your wallet now.
No, obviously, it genuinely is such a tough question. Removing the bias as best as I can. I know, actually, I removed the bias because I've watched him for over a decade. Like, I love De Gea. Just you got to think, right, the game changed throughout De Gea's era in that team. So what goalkeeping was when De Gea was 3 or 4 years into his Man United career, you couldn't touch him.
No.
I think, obviously, you had Casillas, who was really coming toward the end. Buffon, who was, well, you'd say coming toward the end, but he played for another 10 years. But it's like, he just got to a point. It was a 3 or 4 year period where it was a consensus generally within football. He was the best in the world.
He just
could not be touched. But obviously the game then evolved and adapted, and it became more about feet and less about shot stopping, which is where I think people start looking away. And obviously there's mistakes, but he didn't make that many mistakes. If you look at it, I think over 12 years, he made 15 mistakes leading to goals.
Yeah.
Right? Which is just 1.5 maybe a season. It's nothing.
No.
It's nothing. When he's playing FA Cup, bear in mind, he never
didn't play. I take that per game, to be fair.
He didn't. He never didn't play. He was never injured.
No.
He never was ever, ever injured. He played every game. He played cup games. He played Champions League games. He played league games. So he played 60 games a season, 56 games a season. You've got, if you make 1.5 mistakes per season playing 60 games, that is not any bad going. No. Obviously, you're Manchester United goalkeeper.
So Peter Schmeichel's your answer.
I don't know. I loved, obviously.
Do you think Peter Schmeichel's overrated because he was at not United? No. He was at Manchester United when they became good.
No, not.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, he was a massive part of that. You cannot win anything without a world-class goalkeeper in your team. Ask anybody. You can't do it. You cannot do it. So, Peter Schmeichel, the thing is, Peter Schmeichel's the reason I play in goal. I'm playing in goal, started in goal.
Yeah.
So,
Peter Schmeichel's why I didn't get signed at Bradford City.
Peter Schmeichel's the reason why. Oh, God. I don't know. It's a tough one.
Just caught the ball.
I'm going to go, God, this is flipping hard.
Is it audio forum, medium?
I know, but sometimes silence is gold. All right, which one I'm gonna do? I'm gonna play Schmeichel.
Play Schmeichel.
All right, I'm gonna bench De Gea. I'm gonna bring him on at halftime.
No one's happy there, are they? No one's happy there.
I'm bringing him at halftime to get 45 each.
No one's happy.
And Van der Sar, mate, you're getting me at least £12 million at 42 years old. That's fine. Yeah, so half and half. I think I can. They can both play half each.
You can't. That's a cop out.
All right, I went out of case. I played the Hay and Ben Schmeichel.
Oh, friend. Oh,
goalkeeper friend. That was getting the full 90 and Schmeichel watch.
I'd do it the other way. Play De Gea, bench Van der Sar and sell Schmeichel.
My God, that is wild. That's wild.
Listen, that's my opinion. It's a valid opinion. I'm allowed my
Van opinion. Der Sar was not better for Man United than Schmeichel. No way.
That's your opinion.
No, it's fact.
Okay.
It's literally a fact. Van der Sar was flipping amazing for us. But like I say, I think it's a thing where you think, how did he do it? How is he that good at that age?
Yeah. That's what I think about
the long
journey. You know what I mean?
We'll find out today.
I'm scared.
The longevity that Schmeichel had, the things that he won, and also the era. He was in a transitioning Man United team, and he was literally the cornerstone of that team. Achieving what they achieved, the saves that he made, the presence that he brought, the authority that he had, like that is it. He was more than a goalkeeper in that team.
Yeah, listen, I'm only joking. He's essential, but I would sell him.
What'd he be worth in today's market? Jesus Lord,
at his pinnacle. I don't know. I don't think he'd stay on the pitch in this game, do you?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It is interesting.
I mean,
no, but there's still shot stoppers around. I think it's just not in the top clubs. I think the top clubs all want to play. So I watched Bastian Schweinsteiger's interview with Gary Neville yesterday, and it's a really interesting conversation. That's an obvious conversation, but it's the fact that German team, when they were just so dominant and walking every international tournament was, they then changed to suit the new style, i.e. Pep being at Bayern, and everyone wants to play this total football. And Schweinsteiger said that's why the decline happened so fast, because we changed, we lost that identity and wanted to play this Pep style of football.
Yeah.
So Pep's a genius, he's brilliant what he does, but it doesn't suit every team. And as you saw with that German team, they went from being absolute world beaters to beatable. And just
beating England.
Yeah.
So, fucking bastard.
So, even with Man City, they're more direct now. They're not as tippy-tappy. And I just think there's a lot of evidence coming about with goalkeepers who are predominantly good on the ball and average shot stoppers, where it's not working for him. Just not working for him. So yeah, okay, you have standouts in Alisson, Edison, but across the Premier League at the top clubs.
Is Alisson that any good at distributing that?
Yeah, you think? He's good, yeah. He's not as prevalent with it as Edison. but he's
he can do it when he has to, yeah, but he doesn't he can go play. Looking for it.
He's so. Not, yeah, he's not, because he doesn't play as high, so he's not, yeah, he's not on the ball as much. He's not stepping into that centre back role to receive the ball and, yeah, and acts as an extra player. So he's getting, but when he does get the ball at the back, he's very composed, finds his passes, got good technique. He's good. But yeah, I just think obviously the top four clubs, whoever you want to name them as, they want a distro keeper. But even look at that, it's a Newcastle, like Pope, okay, he's not the worst of his feet, but he's far from a sweeper keeper in, yeah, in the sense of playing from the back. He can sweep in behind very well, actually, but playing wise, you're not going to put Pope with Edison anywhere near the same,
oh, no,
level. So it's like, my point is, there's still a lot of goalkeepers who are predominantly just shortstoppers, but who will try and play. It doesn't, yeah, always work, but they'll try and play. And I don't know, I mean, Schmack used to roll the ball and dribble out his penalty box for like 30 yards.
Yeah.
So it's not like he couldn't play with his feet. He could. He's, yeah, like, he was almost the start of it in a weird way.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, right. Let's move on to guess the keeper.
Yes.
Here we go. Come on.
This is what we make up for.
So if you know who it is, put it in the comments, okay? Right, guess the keeper. He's got 17 caps for his country. Okay? Mm-hmm. He scored one goal for his country. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's got one Premiership medal.
Mm-hmm.
He's got two League Cup medals. And he's got one Intercontinental Cup.
I'm going to start with a wild card and go David James.
Oh, we've already had David James. Don't do it twice, mate.
That's probably why I said it. It's just ringing around in my head still. Okay.
He was brought over to England when he was young. Didn't get a visa and had to go home again. So his English career nearly never started.
Okay.
Do you want to guess at anything?
I mean, they're not the best clues, are they? I mean, it could be one of a thousand people.
As soon as I tell you some clues, you're going to go, oh, it's him.
Right, start again. I'm going to clues.
Right, he's got 17 caps for his country.
Okay.
Right, he's got one goal for his country, which was a penalty.
Yeah.
He's got one Premiership, two League Cups, one Intercontinental Cup. Got a failed work visa.
Have we done Jens Lehmann?
No, not Lehmann. We've not done them, no.
Jens Lehmann?
No.
Brilliant.
he married an English girl.
The silly man.
Yeah. No. Just in case she's listening. Married an English girl. The Home Office, after 2 years, gave him English nationality, or he could stay in England forever. So he didn't need a work permit. And they got divorced 3 months later. He nearly missed his second marriage. I know these are not football clues, but he nearly missed his second marriage because he got arrested on his stag do with an incident in a strip club, and he got released 2 hours before the ceremony. Come on.
What do you mean, come on, like there?
Started his career.
Like there, really sort of clues.
Started his career at Aston Villa.
Oh my God. Aston Villa.
I would say probably maybe unrecognized potential. I think like he
I feel like, is he Scandinavian?
Nope.
Who am I thinking of?
A bit further away than Scandinavia. He saved two penalties in one game in the Premiership. It was against Tottenham.
Is this like early Premier League era or current?
In between.
Right, okay.
He was fined by the FA for giving a Nazi salute to the Spurs fans.
Oh, no, no, I can't remember. I remember that story, though. And he claimed it wasn't, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, who is that?
Oh, no, I think that's a different goalkeeper. You're thinking of the Welsh one, aren't you?
No, I'm pretty sure it's that I'm thinking of.
Who?
Oh.
This one, you'll get this one. He got banned for 9 months.
Oh, Bosnić.
Yes, Bosnić. Here we go.
Mark. Big Marky Mark.
Yeah. He was a good keeper, wasn't he? He just sort of lost his way.
He was Cusack.
Do you reckon?
He was Cusack. Yeah. He was good for at them sort of clubs for a couple of seasons, but then big stage, he couldn't handle the pressure.
No. He was out for 6 years. After the 9 months ban, Chelsea released him. Forgot he went to Chelsea. Chelsea sacked him. And then he retired for 6 years and then came back out of retirement after 6 years.
To play for who?
No. No, it was an Australian team. In his first pre-season back, he lost 15 kilograms.
Well, we know that was.
Yeah. So you played 17 times for your country?
For his country, yeah. Because he's that far away, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? By the time you get there, it's already kicked off. You're like, fuck, let's go back. No, I just think, I don't know, they have like the Australasian Cup and all that crap, don't they? And so I don't know. It's not worth going back for, really, is it? But he scored a goal against Samoan Islands, right? Australia was playing Samoan Islands and there was 12-0 up and they got a penalty and he went up and took it. So it's a bit of a...
It's not quite Edison, is it?
You can't really count it, really, can you? No, it's embarrassing. You just go on, leave off. Let them, don't score anymore. That's enough. Yes, you got this one. This week, well done.
Well, you know what I mean?
Every other week, isn't it?
Surely I'm up now. Surely I'm winning this game.
I can't remember.
I think I am.
I should really count it, really, shouldn't I?
We've got to keep score.
Go on then, we'll keep score.
Me versus the world.
So I was going to say, whoever loses does a forfeit at the end of the season.
Okay, that's fine. No, because you start pulling that daft one. You know what I mean?
The Dog and Duck.
In 1987.
It's not that far away. Not that far away.
It is. You were about 14 then, weren't you?
It's 25.
Yes, you were. 25. You probably actually were 14.
I wasn't. What was it, 87? I was 6.
Yeah. 87.
You were 6?
I was 6, yeah. 81 I was born.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Vintage year, that one. What, have you got anything to talk about? Well, we might as well talk about him. How's it going on with De Gea?
Going well.
Seen him put a post on yesterday. Pair of gloves.
Did he?
Yeah. Focus. Focus. What's up? That's a film, isn't it? Focus. What's that? That's a proper film.
Going well. Listen, he's going to be back ready.
We've hit it here first.
So he's just come back flying. His mentality is different. He's ready. I can tell he's very, very ready. Everything about the way he's training is up another level this time around. And
he means business. He's had a plan then, hasn't he? He's meant a bit of time out.
I think, I think sometimes with the volume of games he's played, with the amount of time he was at that club and with all the pressure he had to handle and the scrutiny to handle, he probably, without even knowing it, needed that break.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is coming from me, not him. I've not asked a question or spoke to him about this at all. But just looking at the way he's performing now and the little step up in mentality, like he's honestly that guy. I don't know. When you see him live, bear in mind, I've seen a lot of very, very good keepers live, and it's no disrespect to anyone that I've ever worked with, but it's just something else.
I think everybody else can live with that. David Hayes is the best keeper you've seen live.
Of course, but just people I've worked with.
Cam all pissed off later on. Like, how dare you?
No, but there's other pros who I've worked with who might go, but listen, he's just, what he can do, with his skill set, what he can do, I've never seen anything better.
Wait till about 20 minutes, mate.
So go on then. I need to understand this comeback. Why now?
Oh, don't call it a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback.
No. The Sunday League team, they're just in a little cup. So I've got a handful of games, so I'm coming back. So I haven't touched the ball in anger for about 6 years, I think. No. I tell you, the last time I did any type of training, anything, was the first time we did a video. You know, after a session I came, first time we met.
Yeah.
Then. So how long ago was that? 3 years?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
A while ago, wasn't it? So I thought, I don't want to embarrass myself. I've been warming up since Tuesday, to be fair. Get on that, breaking me back in. So I just want to get a feel of the ball and...
If you enjoy it and you play well, will you play next year?
No, I don't think so, no. Listen, I'm 42. I know I don't look it, but I'm 42. I've just come out. It's my pals that I've grew up with that are playing and all that. So I want to go just for the crack, to tell you the truth.
Oh yeah, hear that. Definitely hear that.
And I don't want to embarrass myself because I've been and seen a couple of the other teams and they've got a few young lads like 15, 16 and the mustard. So I don't want to, embarrass myself.
Experience reigns above all. Don't worry about that.
So no, I just want to come back. Like I say, get a bit of not match fitness, but I want to get a bit of moving about and that, and just make sure my body can actually move. My back's feeling a bit tight already, to be fair.
I love it. I love that. And I reckon you'll get the bug. I reckon you're playing this year.
Listen, I'm not worried about actually the training side. I'm more worried about serving side and ruining someone's set. That's what I'm worried about. And breaking some windows or something like that. <don't> I mean?
To be fair, though, there's nothing worse. And you go, do you know what? You'll lose moves. You'll lose contracts. Like, if you can't serve, honestly, like, if you go somewhere and try on, you've mint and you can't serve. They're not having you. It's the worst.
No, it affects everybody else.
It kills it. It absolutely kills it. There's nothing worse than keeping can't service. It's terrible.
Or if you're having the other side of it, if you're having a good good set and you come to that last ball and they just spew it off and you're like, it's deflating, isn't it?
It's the worst thing. Young goalkeepers learn to serve. It's so important.
It does help everything else. And it's just learning to kick the ball. I know we say this every week. Just get the ball and kick. Just get the connection.
But the thing is, it's overlooked. Like, obviously, until you're in that setting whereby you're working with groups of goalkeepers, no one's. Where would you then serve? Do you know what I mean? Normally, grassroots football, if you haven't got any specialist goalkeeper training, you've got a guy from the team, a coach or a parent or a dad who kicks the ball to you before every game, maybe in training, kicks the ball to you a few times and says, catch it, dive, well done, whatever. But you're never serving.
No.
And then suddenly you have a half decent season, whatever, you move up a level or whatever, and then suddenly you're a group of goalkeepers and you can't volley a ball, half volley a ball, track a ball from the floor. It's just the worst. And literally, underlyingly, we won't have you. As goalkeepers, we won't have you. As coaches, we won't have you.
That's why I'm all worried. That's me to leave halfway through.
Yeah, buddy.
You just sit. You just watch.
So have a step out for a go.
Have a breath.
But now I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing what you've got.
What we're planning. What have we got?
I can't tell you that. You'll find out as we go.
You getting that ball launcher? Or?
That might come about 100 miles an hour at some point.
I'll have that. Yes. Like Happy Gilmore, you know, hit me in the face. I want to try that, the Dutch catch.
Oh my, well, Danish catch.
Danish catch, that's it. No, it's in like a croissant. It's like...
a croissant? Oh
no, you
my
know the...
God, wait.
It's in pastry, I'm going to say. It's in pastry.
So now it's a French catch?
Yeah, well, that's it, yeah, see. I'll show you a Yorkshire catch.
Chuck it in a pie, lad.
Anything else you want to talk about? How's it going at Bradford Park Avenue?
So, I went into that team.
And it was pushing for promotion. Now they're relegated. Yeah,
no, they're in a relegation battle. So obviously they got relegated last year.
And there's a relegation battle now?
Yeah, and they're a big club. At that level, they're a big club. They've got good
finances, I always remember. Good backing. Yeah, I always remember those.
And I just think, I don't know what's going on, but they've lost 40 points this year from winning positions. It's a very young team, very technically adept team, really, really good technical team, set up very, very well, play good football.
Have we got a senior, like a senior midfielder or
thing,
a senior?
This is the thing.
Is that you?
Now it's me. Just no, I mean, the goalkeeper before I came in was, I think he was 19, from Barnsley on loan. Good keeper, did really well, to be fair. Just obviously...
Has he gone back?
He's gone back, yeah. Someone's come and took his spot. No, but he was a good lad, good goalkeeper. Like for his age, he was decent. And we'll do well in the game. I think he's got a good stature, a good mentality. He'll do well. But anyway,
he couldn't step up to the best unsigned goalkeeper in the world.
But anyway, bottom. Long story short, when I went in, they had just played a game. It's only in the relegation zone, but looking comfortable, like they get out of it. Good team. We're getting decent results. New gaffer coming. Obviously, better side of play. Everything about the club changed, and it obviously was on the up. So, looked fairly safe, even though they were down there. No one thought they'd be in the relegation zone. And then they were winning 2-0 in a game, and then they drew 2-2. Results went against us. Anyway, long story short, ended up 9 points from safety.
Oh,
with my God. 9 points from safety with 4 games to go. No, I'm sorry, 7 points from safety, sorry. 7 points from safety with 4 games to go. Luckily, the next game was against the team above us.
So you won two.
So that's a 6-pointer.
Yeah. So you won 2-1. So then it's 4 points.
Come on, that's two.
So now, long story Five short, points. There's 4 points in
four
it.
4 points.
4 points in it with two games left.
Oh.
But this is the thing. So there's two teams above us now. The first team above us have to basically win both their games. I think they're a point above us or something, maybe two. But they have to win both their games. And then the team above them, who are 4 points above us, have to win both their games pretty much, if we win both ours, obviously.
Yeah.
Have to win one game, but the next game's against top of the league.
Oh, get in there.
So buzzing.
Have they won their league? Yeah, they've won it yet.
They've already won it.
I know. On the beaches, are
yeah, they've been in pubs all week.
They're in Ocean Beach now, aren't they?
They've literally posted a tweet in a bar every day since they won it. That's going to be good. And then it's the last. So I think it'll come down to last day. We'll win this weekend. They won't win this weekend. The team above don't really care what they do because
all you've got to do is just win the odd games.
Win our two games and I think we'll be fine. So
sorted the crosses out.
Yeah, we'll be fine. To be fair, we're cool.
It's cheating anyway, crossing, isn't it?
Yeah, don't do cross. Poor football. Don't get it wide. Play through the middle. Be Pep.
Play through the middle. Get everybody behind the ball.
But yeah, it's going to be an interesting 2 weeks. It's obviously massive
pressure. That's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect to play this year. I've played 5 games all year across the whole entire season. I've gone in there with a view to next year. Ended up playing and played well, to be fair. But it's like now I'm fully immersed in it. I'm like, we have to stay up.
Yeah.
We'll win both games. I know for a fact we'll win both games. It's just a case of hoping that it's going to come down to last day of the season.
Whatever everybody else does. Funny things happen, don't they?
Well, but and last day of the season when you've got nothing to play for, one team's got nothing to play for and one's going to get
out. Yeah. Not putting in that tackle and not.
Yeah, it's different. But we'll see. We'll see.
Well, we wish you the best of luck.
So, love.
Right, so that's episode 12 of Clean Sheets, Dirty Laundry podcast. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, ring the bell, whatever it is, wherever you are, do whatever you have to do. We'll see you next week.
Ta-da.
Oh my God, have you ever seen anything like that from a goalkeeper? That's quite extraordinary.